are back for episode number 8 of Just Another Magnet Monday podcast. This is Molly Pat Eystone with Marketing and Communications at Stormont Vail Health. And of course, we have our Chief Nursing Officer, Carol Perry, here.
Molly, can you believe it's been the 8th episode?
I know.
This goes so fast when you're having fun.
I know. Episode 8. 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We have just been cranking them out.
We have.
We also have Brooke McDonald here with us to talk about relationships and the nursing pipeline. How are you, Brooke?
I'm great. How are you, ladies?
Good.
Good.
Thank you for being here. Before we dive in, we do start by asking who you are, what you do at Stormont Vail, and what people should know about you.
I am a nurse manager in primary care. I've been with primary care in the nurse manager role for about 6 years now and have worked in various different clinics supporting the providers and the staffs, patients, and community. But I started here in the ICU as a tech when I was in nursing school and worked in the ER and then came to the ambulatory side of things. So about me, I have loved that I've gotten to see the entire picture, as I call it. So both sides of the street, from inpatient to ambulatory. And I just want others to know I always work hard to ensure that I am giving my best to them at all times, because that provides great staff for me to work with alongside to care for our patients and our community.
And that provides you confidence as well.
Of course.
Talk about what you love so much about the nursing profession.
I love that I get to just care for people in so many different ways. We may be caring for physical concerns they have, but also emotional, mental concerns that they're going through. And it can be something extremely tragic and traumatic, and it can be something that other people wouldn't even notice. But for us as nurses, sometimes you just have the intuition that something's wrong and you need to be there to be supporting them. So again, just anything we can do to make everyone have a more enjoyable life.
Okay, Brooke, this is a loaded question, and I've already asked Carol this in one of our other episodes. If you could fix one problem in healthcare, what would it be?
That is a hard one, because there's just so many different
couple things to work on.
Right. The obvious answer would be staffing, because at the end of the day, we need enough staff to care for our patients and our community, not even just our community, but Northeast Kansas and multi-states around us that are leaning on us for support. But I think if I could fix something right now, it would be bringing back the joy of why people go into healthcare. COVID has caused a lot of burnout and stress and anxiety. And I know we're still having lots of people who are interested in healthcare, but it just seems like we're missing something. And I want to bring it back to just people having that compassionate side that drives why we get so many nurses or RTs or whatever discipline it may be in the healthcare setting.
I love that answer. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships in healthcare, which is perfect with what you were just saying is actually one of the things that you would fix in healthcare. We have a lot to cover, so we're just going to jump right in today. What is one team skill that you think everyone should have?
Hands down, communication. Communication drives just about everything we do day in and day out. If people are not on the same page, it can really cause problems and barriers. So sometimes not only the communication aspect, but the comprehension of the communication, because we all communicate differently. And so I think it's really important that people truly have a clear understanding of what is being communicated and asking questions if there's any uncertainty with that communication.
What do you think, Carol?
I think Brooke answered it beautifully. That's why I stick to the basics and read back and confirm every communication that's really important. I always want to make sure I use that basic tactic to have somebody read back, confirm what we've said, so that when we leave a meeting or we walk away from each other, we both know that, yes, we've confirmed that's what was said. Who's going to do what, there's no mistakes made, and that we will follow through with what we'd agreed upon together.
And Brooke, you kind of touched on it. Teamwork can be hard. Communication can be hard. Why do you think that it gets rocky?
I think everyone's just busy. And so sometimes people are multitasking and things inadvertently slip and fall through the cracks. And so I don't think anyone has any intentions by forgetting to do something or letting something, you know, hang and not being finished. But there's so many different avenues people are working on throughout the day. And so again, back to that communication and being able to speak up when you need the help, because at the end of the day, we can't do this alone. Rather, it's us individually or us as nurses. There are so many people that we have to count on to make ends meet, to take care of our community. So
definitely. What kind of team member do you like to work with?
That's an interesting one. I have so many different ones, and I love so many things about all of them. I really like someone who can be a self-starter and who can take initiative to work on things alongside me, but also be able to communicate what's going on so we're not working on the same thing and we can kind of divide and conquer. I also really enjoy working with someone who stops to see what's going on around them, because sometimes we can get really focused on our world and what's going on and not see that those around us are struggling, and maybe we need to put something down on our plate and go help them finish something on theirs to keep them from getting burnt out or just feeling that stress of the day-to-day task that they've been unable to keep up on.
Yeah, teamwork is so important. Why does it matter that teams work together? What happens to a team when they aren't working together? Why do you think that it's so important, Carol?
Well, I can start and then Brooke can finish up, but no one is able to accomplish much on their own. We all need each other, and the way that we work together and can cue off of each other, we can accomplish a lot more. Like Brooke said, somebody can see something that we might not see. When you work with interdisciplinary team members, they have an expert. Our foundation is holistic care, but for instance, respiratory therapy, they're the cardiopulmonary specialist. They will have an expertise on breathing and mechanical ventilation and different things that we don't have. So we need each other in every aspect of care, and understanding each person's background and their expertise together, when we come together, we will give the highest level of care. So the thought of individualized care is about patient, not about team. And we need each other in every role that we have to accomplish the highest level of care.
I agree. I come currently from the ambulatory setting. So, you know, we have nursing and providers, but we also integrate regularly with the lab staff, the radiology staff, social workers and care managers, our housekeepers coming through and keeping our buildings clean and disinfected, you know, with the germs and the respiratory viruses going around. So it is an entire team that takes care of our community. And like Carol said, none of this could be done by one person or even one team. It's the entire organization and the entire community really working together to care for one another. I definitely think that going back to the communication thing, if we're not communicating with those teams in an efficient way, that's where some of those barriers come in and things break down or fall through the cracks. And so I think that's something that we are working on year after year, just how we can better ourselves as an organization, not only to communicate within our own teams, within our own service line, but also with those around us that are taking care of the same patient population.
My next question was actually, why do we want an interdisciplinary team and organization? And I think you both hit it on the head. Everyone is important. And without each discipline, whether that be in nursing or other departments in the organization, we can't do anything without each other.
That's very accurate. And just the background and training of the interdisciplinary professions, it is a expertise that each individual has. And when you bring that together, the patient's getting the highest level of care. So if a patient is on a lot of medications, you have to have that pharmacy expertise to help the physician, the provider, the nurse, to know, is there interactions? What is the best pharmacy plan? And so pharmacy is crucial in that scenario. Same as respiratory, same as physical therapy when you have patients with joint and spine issues. So depending on what's going on with an individual patient, you need to bring all those experts in. And as Brooke said, in the ambulatory world, we have expanded social work and care managers. And if you can't keep the environment clean, the risk of infection goes up. And it's just, everyone has a different role, but no one has a more important position. We need all of it to make it happen as the entire team.
That is so important. So Brooke, what do you think makes a successful interdisciplinary team? We keep talking about it, but talk about the steps to having that successful relationship.
I think being successful is wanting each group to have the wins, so to speak. So being supportive of your team makes it successful, having the good communication, but also owning what's yours to own. So we're not all perfect. We have areas where, you know, we failed on our part. Maybe it's from nursing, maybe it's from primary care. And you have to really look at those and say, what is ours to own and what can we improve on to ultimately make the situation better so it doesn't happen again, or to just even enhance what we're already doing to continue to grow and be, you know, the hospital or the healthcare organization of choice in our community.
And recently, Stormont Vail added interdisciplinary membership to professional governance structure. Why is that so important?
That is a team that I lead, and just listening to priorities, the changes in their divisions, and how that all works together from a professional standpoint is crucial to hear. If we have a A3 or a specific improvement process and we don't include the right players from the get-go, then it's rework and we're going to miss a whole component out of what needs to be done for that improvement. And so, say we're working on a change with environmental services. If we say this is what needs to be done from a nursing perspective and we don't include them and on that, their expertise and the why behind what they do, then it's just not going to come together like it should. If on the front end you have an interdisciplinary team of people, they know why they're doing it, we can explain that, we can talk about barriers on the front end, we can put a performance improvement plan together, we can evaluate it once we implement that, and we've gotten so systematic on our improvement that the outcomes are just measurably improved.
What are the processes in place to include all clinical departments in the decision related to the delivery of patient care?
So I think, as Carol mentioned, shared governance or professional governance is expanding and broadening its horizon, and it goes again back to communicating out to your teams. There has been so much in the short time I've been on Communication Council that I've learned that I just wasn't aware of before, because we do have so much to communicate and there are so many important messages, and how do you decipher which ones are needed today and which ones you can get back to? So I think bringing people from different departments, groups, disciplines in will really help us disperse that communication out to a broader audience across our organization.
Can you talk about how people can get involved in professional governance as well? I know that we've discussed it before, but I think it's always important to remind people.
Yeah, they have a SharePoint site where you can go on and kind of see which clusters need more participants and which active councils still need people to fill those spots, and then you can apply, and then it goes back to the actual committee and they get to vote on it. So it's kind of fun. You get to, you know, bring on new team members and learn something new about different departments every month when you meet.
We're on Communication Council together.
I've enjoyed it.
So if you want to join, we're looking for people as well.
Absolutely.
A nice plug for us.
That's right.
Something else that I wanted to bring up, it's tough when you make a mistake. We're all human. We all make them. But it is hard. You know, you want to be successful at what you do and you want to achieve. So what can team members do to correct a mistake?
Oh, I see that frequently. And there's some formal channels, but informally, at the point of where a mistake has taken place, I think that that's where we see compassion, kindness, and understanding that that could have just as easily been myself that made the mistake. And you wrap your arms around the person that made the mistake and you say, we're going to get through this together. This was either a systems error, or we can think of things as a team that we could do to not let this happen again. And even though you are the one that pushed the med or made the mistake, this is all of us together, and we're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. And I see that over and over, that passion to change it and the compassion to love the person that made the mistake, because there's no person that hasn't made a mistake. There's not a single one of us that doesn't remember a mistake we've made and the devastation we felt that, oh my gosh, I could have hurt somebody or something bad could have happened. And then the kindness and the support that we felt when that happened, and the people that rallied around us and said this was not changing to the patient. And that's why we put so much effort on prevention, because it's so much easier to think through potential mistakes on the front end than have to deal with them on the back end.
100% agree. I think for me personally as a leader, of course, dealing with whatever immediate needs come of the mistake is our first priority. But as soon as we have that situated, having that sit-down conversation with my staff, and I thank them, thank you for coming to me with this mistake. There have been times where people could have easily, you know, pushed things under a rug and not said anything, but that doesn't fix anything. That doesn't prevent those future mistakes, and that doesn't keep a safe culture. And so I thank them for taking the time to recognize that the mistake was made, to own up to the mistake. And then we sit down and play it all back over. You know, why did this happen? Was it the systems error that Carol talked about? Was it human error? Was it distraction? Was it something with Epic that we can better so it doesn't happen again? And so it's really important for them to know that, A, it's we're human, we're going to make mistakes, and I'm here to support you through this mistake, like Carol said, and love on you and show you that compassion, but also know that we have to own our mistake and how can we prevent it in the future and work through those steps as well.
Yeah, that's such an important reminder as well, is that we're all here to support each other no matter what happens. We're here to improve and make it better and be there for one another.
I want to just add to that, Brooke, you stimulated me to think, when we have to own our mistake, and that's why it's so important, as we have the other councils, practice council, we have staff that are putting together policies and looking at best practices and evidence-based practice. And that's why you have to follow policy. If there's an error made and you followed the policy to the T, you don't have to worry about it. There's still an error made, but you followed the policy. If there's an error made and you omitted three of the components of the policy, that is much more difficult to say, why did you omit those? Being busy and just omission is more difficult to explain than looking at systems error. So I just want to take the opportunity to say exactly what Brooke said. As a leader, Brooke tries to protect her staff. And again, on the front end, always follow the policy. And then if there's an error made, we can deal with it, or we can change the policy, or we can look at the systems error. But if you omit components of the policy, like basics of right person, right route, right dose, then those are harder to try to justify.
And a good opportunity also, if you have questions about a policy, don't be afraid to ask.
Correct.
In primary care especially, there are many advanced practice providers. Mm-hmm. How do APPs function as internal experts that provide expertise to our nursing team?
I think in general for primary care, they're always sharing their knowledge with nurses, rather it's through talking about patient situations and what's going on and the whys behind it. I think they stepped up to show us as nurses how they can be utilized outside of the provider realm, and they went back to bedside during COVID to help out with some of the staffing concerns that were going on. I was talking to Paula about that question some, and discussing how at the Cancer Center, one of their APPs does some research to look at different opportunities for some of that evidence-based practice that affects nursing specifically, and then how it translates to patient outcomes. And there is a APP in palliative care who's working with some of her nursing staff to get them to be certified in their specialty. So I think that they are all there to support not only one another as APPs, but also the nurses working with them and alongside them in the daily practice in primary care.
And let's also talk about how nurses and physicians work best to care for the patients together as well.
Like we've kind of gone back to, it can't be done alone. So I think that nurses and physicians are both, you know, learning on a regular basis, what's yours to own, what's mine to own, how can we work better together to make sure our patients are taken care of in not only a safe manner, but a timely manner. We don't want people to wait on responses for things. I think asking questions and understanding where each other is coming from has shed some light on, at least for primary care recently, on better task-oriented things that we can help each other out with, that we can, again, get things back to patients, get the ball moving on getting those antibiotics started if they have an infection of some sort, or maybe the patient having some pain issues and, you know, we're doing the workup, but we need to manage the pain until they see ortho or whatever the situation may be. So I think it comes down to the communication aspect between providers and nursing and the leaders that are involved in that department, but also the understanding of what each other is doing and how we can better each other's work lives to support our patients.
And that's why communication is so important.
100%. It really, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm talking about in life. Yeah. So many things go back to communication. You mentioned earlier asking questions. I'm like, I expect you to ask questions. If you're not asking me questions, I might be concerned that you know, that you're not being supported, or that you're not stepping up to ask questions that you don't feel comfortable on. Because I think it's really important for people to ask the questions that they need some help or support in. And that may be from nurse to provider. Sometimes it's, you know, educating yourself. Help me understand why you chose this med when normally I see you choose this med. There's always learning opportunities out there. And I really enjoy that about our providers, that they do take the time to help educate us and help us understand, because it could help prevent an error in the future when we see something that seems off. So
absolutely. Carol, how can we measure team success?
There are several ways to measure team success by looking at our outcomes. But I think a real measure is by connectedness and relationships, trust, and that the providers trust the staff to do the right thing. And then when you ask something out of the providers, they're going to support that. And I have a perfect example listening to Brooke. One thing that we've talked about for years at this organization is provider to provider communication. And we've had a long history, and as communication can get more complex, the nurse was kind of in the middle of a lot of the communication. And most recently, we've implemented a performance improvement to have physician to physician or provider to provider communication. And they talk to each other before you then try to put the nurse in the position of trying to communicate that plan of care. So for instance, if I am a hospitalist and I need to talk to a specialist, they communicate, and then the orders are put in, and then the nurse is very a part of that plan. But the nurse is not trying to communicate one provider's request for the specialist consult. And I think that's been a huge improvement. And it just, when you take a middleman out and do communication direct face-to-face to begin with, it takes potential for error out, miscommunication. And I'm very grateful that even though that's a lot of change and at times it seems like it takes more time, it is safe patient care and it improves our ability to make sure the plan of care is communicated accurately the first time. So those are the kinds of things that to me you measure based upon when you're gonna ask for a change. Can people support the change and move forward? And I think that is based upon relationship. My entire career, if I have been able to articulate the why, I feel like we have the best physicians, the best providers, and if you can say, I really need your help on this, and will you help us work through this? 95% of the time, I feel like they support the staff. And really what providers want is the nursing staff to have what they need, the clarity, the confidence, the time to do what they need to do to get back with the patients. And that's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. And then how do we celebrate that team success as well?
Food, of course.
That's funny, Brooke. I said the same thing.
I do enjoy sometimes, you know, we're working hard and it's hard to step away to grab a lunch. And so sometimes, you know, in primary care, we focus on prevention, of course. So looking at our colonoscopy rate numbers and our mammogram numbers and catching these things early stages versus late stages. Outcomes, of course, is a way we measure. But to celebrate it, sometimes it's, okay, everyone's been busy and crazy. Let's just have lunch together and enjoy it. And pizza's on me. Or, you know, sometimes it's I go down to the department and I personally thank them, or it's handwritten notes. There's so many different ways to celebrate our successes, but they need to hear about the wins, because some days you're so focused on fixing all the problems and working on the barriers that we don't have as much time and energy to focus on the things we're doing really well. So for me, I know that's something I'm working on as a leader. Like, I need to learn how to find that time to work on both sides of it and not focusing on only the things that we have to work on, but the things that they want to hear and see too, because that creates a better work environment, I feel, to have those success stories being brought back to them.
Yeah, it's so easy to focus on the 4 things that went wrong rather than the 90 things that went right.
Right.
And it's so important to do that so that we can get 94 things right and not
right.
4 things wrong. So that's great.
And the last few years, we've been running on this level of high so long. It's like flight and fight. You're just going so fast, so quick. And I think that today is the time to slow down a bit, reflect, care about each other, have a lunch together, take a minute, visit, care about each other, find out what's going on with each other's family. And then, like you said, so you can have something to drink or eat together. You can have public acknowledgement. I think that means so much. And then really celebrate that we have given tremendous care in a time of turmoil, high emotion, unpredictability. No one knew what was coming at us with this pandemic and all the unknowns. And so we've been functioning at a very high level of unknown. And today is the day to get back to basics, celebrate who we are. We did an incredible job during a very high stressful time. And then let's move forward with what we can control and who we are as professionals, recommit to communicating together and working together and valuing each other's role no matter what, and being able to take care of every patient that hits our door in the best way possible.
Absolutely. What would you say is the best memory that you have of working together as a team?
I think for me personally, there have been so many patient wins and, you know, helping people through their hard times in life. But to be on the receiving end of it was really hard for me. I delivered a baby really early and ended up in the NICU for 93 days. And so to see not only my team come together to support me when I've always been the one there to support them, along with them supporting each other, but then also seeing the other disciplines I'm not used to seeing. You know about the NICU, but until you're there, you just have a new appreciation for people and places that you haven't got to experience as a nurse. So I think for me, that win was just the organizational effort across the board. It was my leader supporting me, my team supporting me, seeing other departments support each other, and just going back to the basics of why I went into healthcare, why I hope other people going into healthcare is to support our community, and seeing it all come together from a broader perspective, I think would be my answer.
That's a great answer, Brooke. I'm glad you went first. I think that when I think about the best memory of working together, it changes from when I was a young nurse working in labor and delivery. I would look at that as a very frightening time that turned out well, and together we were all in the room and we were afraid together, and then we had a healthy baby or things turned out well together, and then we had all have a sigh of relief and go, oh wow, high five, we did it together. But today, being a senior exec for a long period of time, my biggest memories are seeing staff succeed and having staff come up to you and say, man, you should have seen our team in action. If I wasn't there, I heard about it and I heard them explain what it was like to have people show up when you looked up, wherever you're at, if there's unusual code in the clinics, how you handled that and how people showed up and were just right there to support. And I think that is the biggest memory that everybody can close their eyes and say, when something tough goes on around here, you close your eyes, you open them, and someone showed up that really gives you support and confidence that we did the best we could.
I have one additional, because you know, my mind went very narrow-minded for a second, and I'm thinking a little more broader after hearing Carol talk. For the ambulatory side of things, we have leaned on each other from primary care to the subspecialties, and staffing has been horrendous recently, but yet they're all being flexible. They're all willing to help out their peers. They all know that we need to be kind and welcoming when we get someone from the outside and remind them that they are here to help you. It might not be the person you're used to sitting by who knows every little thing about your clinic, but they ultimately are coming here to help you and to serve our patients. And so I think that has been a huge win for me, just seeing the day in and the day out collaboration that's bigger than just primary care or bigger than just my departments, but our entire ambulatory service line. I mean, we're sending people to endocrinology and heart center and dermatology, and they're sending us. And so it's just a neat thing to see so many people coming together to serve our population.
And that goes to show we have an incredible team who is willing to pick up where we need the help, no matter where it is as well. So that's really important to point out too. Did I miss anything that you guys wanted to touch on?
No, you know, I'm going to have to say, yes. Brooke, you are awesome. I think that as a nurse manager, anyone that has contact with you, they can feel your passion. They know that you want to lift them up. You want them to be successful. You've done a little bit of everything in the organization. You're here because you want to be here, and for that, I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your support.
Okay, episode number 8 of Just Another Magnet Monday podcast. Thank you, Brooke and Carol. Episode 9, it is on its way next week. Hard to believe that we just have 2 weeks left already.
I know. Oh, I know.
Next week, we're going to be talking about leadership visibility with Josh Brewer. He'll be joining us, so it'll be a great episode.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks again, Brooke.
Thank you, ladies.
Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.